Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our message this morning is from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 10, as Jesus speaks to us and he says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." Thus far our text. Life. What's it all about? What is life full of? What is life to the full that Jesus talks about? As Pastor mentioned, I serve at Bethesda Lutheran Homes and Services out of Watertown, Wisconsin. I serve there as what's called a parish ministry consultant, basically for both North and South Wisconsin districts. And we work with people with developmental and intellectual disabilities. And we deal with life and life issues all the time at Bethesda, especially regarding people with these disabilities. In fact, the mission statement of Bethesda makes it very clear: to enhance the lives of people with intellectual and developmental disabilities through the use of services and resources that share the good news of Jesus Christ. Life. We face a lot of temptations in life. But over against all the temptations to fill our life with worldly things and worldly concerns, the Lord Jesus Christ gives us an answer to that question of what is life to the full. But more than just giving us an answer, he gives us himself. And with himself, he gives us that life to the full. So what is life filled with? For some people, it's filled with all the worldly concerns, all the worldly things. There are people out there who see this life as the only life there is and don't see anything beyond it. And so for them, it's, you know, the old statement, you only go around once in life, so go with all the gusto you can. Nothing wrong with living life with gusto. God gave you your life to live it, enjoy it, to live it for him. But some like to fill that life with all the worldly toys. You know, the cars, the trucks, the boats, the snowmobiles, all the computer devices and electronic gadgets and cell phones that can do everything under the sun. I just figured out a short while ago that my cell phone I had for 4 years has a calendar. I was just happy to be able to answer the phone and learn how to make a text message. Now, when I first set the first calendar thing, I heard this weird noise going off. I didn't know what it was. It was the calendar. Some people like to fill life with money, you know, financial investments and stocks and bonds and IRAs and retirement accounts. Oh, we know what happened to all that stuff last year, right? Yeah, some people like to fill our lives with leisure. All the kind of activities we like to do, travel, concerts, sports, crafting, golf, hunting, fishing. I like some of those things. You know, and all these things indeed are wonderful blessings and gifts from God. They're things to be used in life and enjoyed that God has given us, but not as things to be worshipped. Not as something that should be allowed to have more importance than our relationship with our God. What is life full of? What is life full of for people with developmental disabilities? Maybe a little review for some of you that may not be as familiar with Bethesda as others. Bethesda is a mission ministry to, for, and with people with developmental disabilities, as I've already said. It's things like mental retardation especially, but could be autism, cerebral palsy, different things like that. Bethesda actually began its ministry 105 years ago now, in a little rented building in Watertown with 5 staff and 8 people who lived there. And over the years, the Lord has blessed the ministry tremendously. You might remember, some of you back in the 60s and 70s, Bethesda had between 600 and 700 people who lived on the campus in Watertown. And for most people, when they thought of Bethesda, they always thought of Watertown. That was where everything happened with people with those kind of disabilities. But over the years now, the move now in the whole disability field is to the community. That people with developmental and other disabilities should not be institutionalized and kept away and separate from people in society, but to be part of the community in which they live, to work in the community. We have day service workshops where people go, as well as working in places like Walmart, McDonald's, and so on, that people can also have a place to worship in the community with other people from the community. Now, Bethesda in South Wisconsin has 28 group home locations where people live in individual homes like yours or mine with daily care and supports. There's 120 people on the campus now. It's a lot less. About 146, I think, last count in the 28 group homes. Up north in Rhinelander, we have another 10 homes and one in Tomahawk. That's another 44 people. But now nationwide, from California on the west to New Jersey on the east, Texas in the south to Minnesota to Wisconsin in the north, we have 2,000 people that live in daily living arrangements with Bethesda, supported by Bethesda. But beyond that, we reach out through local congregations like yours to reach out to people in local communities all over the country. As you reach out with resources and helps to find people, maybe some you already know, with disabilities that are not in church, to reach out to them with the good news of Jesus. Because as you look at statistics in our world today, about 7.5 million people with developmental disabilities. And of those people, 9 out of 10 are generally not in church. Of course, that depends on which exactly disability, how open the church has been, how welcoming, and so on. Every one of our congregations, or our group homes rather, has what we call a partner congregation, where they worship and can have Bible study and fellowship opportunities, service opportunities, and so on. But even sometimes in the church, we have people that are a little afraid of people with disabilities and don't always welcome them with open arms. So we encourage people to reach out, to share the good news of Jesus. Because when you think of what is life full of? For people with developmental disabilities, sometimes life is full of a lack of things. It's filled with a lack of friendship. Many of them really don't have close friends. Even though they may live close together with people, they're not really close friends. Or don't have friends in the church that they attend. Sometimes it's filled with a lack of understanding. People don't understand, why do they do the things they do? Why do they look the way they look, talk the way they talk, or don't talk at all? A lack of acceptance. We don't sometimes accept people who are different, not just with disabilities, but anything else as well. Different language, different culture, different ethnic groups. Sometimes, for a person with developmental disabilities, their life is filled with a lack of things they can do. They struggle with difficulties to do the things that you and I think are simple. To walk, talk, think, to take care of all the daily personal care that you do each day. That for them is difficult. Sometimes their life is filled with struggling. Struggling to be, quote unquote, normal. Because see, a lot of people over the years have not looked at them as normal. Years ago, parents sometimes were told, well, a child born with a disability, Down syndrome, mental retardation, other disabilities, was told, put them in an institution somewhere, forget they were ever born. In later years, people have chosen to abort a child and kill that life that God has created because they didn't want to deal with a disability. Life, what's it full of? Life can also be filled with love, care, acceptance, and supports to help people with disabilities accomplish their goals and their dreams in life. It also promote independence to help them live as independently as possible, using their God-given gifts and abilities as well. And life can be filled with spiritual blessings, that people with developmental disabilities can know God's grace, His love, His forgiveness through Jesus Christ, if they hear the message. If you and I and others are out there to share that message and to welcome people with disabilities into our churches, that they too can know eternal life through Jesus Christ. As we think about spiritual things, as we think about what is life, questions. Would life be fuller? Would life be fuller for people knowing that there is more to come after this life? There's more to come after death. You and I as Christians know that. Would life be fuller for people out there in the world if they knew there was more to life than just right now? Would life be fuller believing that there is a God who loves and cares for each and every one of us personally and individually? As Jesus says, the Good Shepherd knows our name. He knows us and we know Him. Would life be fuller knowing that my life here and now has a purpose beyond myself, a purpose that God has given into my life? And would life be fuller if I could share the blessings that I've been given with those around me who maybe haven't been blessed in the same way? Would life be fuller if I saw that all people have a part in God's plan, a part in God's plan for life, that includes people with developmental disabilities? It includes people yet unborn. It includes people from all walks of life. And would life be fuller if I, or if you and I, let other people around us reach out to us when we are hurting, when we need to feel the compassion and love and care of Jesus through other people, rather than being the stoic one to go it all alone? Would our life be fuller to let others reach out to us in our moments of need too? So what is this life to the full? As Bethesda has been using this theme this year of life to the full, we think of the word full, F-U-L-L. Life filled with faith, understanding, love, and life, F-U-L-L. Life to the full, filled with faith. Faith that began in baptism as the Holy Spirit reached out to you, as that water and the Word washed over you, washed away your sins, and the gift of the Holy Spirit to create faith in your heart and then to sustain that faith throughout your life. A faith that believes and trusts in God at His Word, that what God said is true. Sometimes people look at folks with developmental disabilities and wonder, can they understand the Word of God? Do they understand the theological things like the Lord's Supper? Can people with developmental disabilities be confirmed and receive the Lord's Supper? The answer is yes. A lot of them are. Some aren't. But they also learn to know Jesus and grow in their faith in Him, whether they come to the ability to be confirmed or not. One of the men at Bethesda some years ago with a former chaplain was a fairly high ability person. And he had already been confirmed, but the pastor still was struggling with him, trying to understand, did he really know what it meant when he came to the Lord's Supper? Because he told me that this man knew the words, knew the answers to the questions, knew the songs. But he says, did he really understand what it meant when he came to the Lord's Supper? And so one day, as they're sitting at a table at Bethesda, chaplain asked him, what does it mean to you when you come to the Lord's Supper? And you're going to come today. How would you answer that question? Someone asks you, what does it mean to you when you come to the Lord's Supper? This man answered that question by walking over to a window. He waved out the window and he said, bye-bye sins, bye-bye sins. He knew that somehow when he came to the Lord's altar, the Lord Jesus met him in his very true body and blood, given and shed for him for the forgiveness of his sins. His sins were gone. In faith, he took God at his word. Faith trusts God to handle those impossible situations in life, whether it's that crisis pregnancy that faces the decision to abort or not to abort, whether or not there is a disability involved. Maybe it's a crisis situation in life now with all the financial stuff, people retirement, losing their retirement accounts, losing homes and jobs. Crisis situations all over. Faith trusts God to provide help and support when we make the right decisions. And faith trusts that God forgives us when we make the wrong decisions and lifts us up each day in his love. Life to the full, understanding, not keeping people away at arm's distance, not holding them off like the leper in the gospel, as people put them outside, the untouchable. We have untouchable people in our society. Some of them are people with developmental disabilities. I mentioned that our group homes have partner congregations where they worship. And one of those partner congregations, when the people from the group home would come out of church to shake hands with people, some of the people went like this. They didn't want to shake hands. They didn't want to touch them. They're afraid they're going to catch something. How would you feel if somebody did that to you? We don't want to hang around the unpopular kid in school, the geek, because that's going to rub off on us. Maybe there are certain people like weird Uncle Harold. Every time you get together for your family reunion, weird Uncle Harold's acting obnoxious and nobody wants to hang around him. Maybe there's people in the street, people on the other side of the tracks, as they say. And then we need to remember. When you look at us, you look at people. It doesn't matter if you're young or old, rich or poor, man or woman, pretty or ugly. We're all people who are sinners in need of a Savior. His name is Jesus. And Jesus was the one who came into our world. The Son of God comes into our world and hangs around with us. He talks to the prostitutes, tax collectors. He touches the lepers and heals them. He tells the people about the love of God and the kingdom of God. And ultimately he hangs on a cross. He hung around with us on a cross to take away our sins, to give us the gift of eternal life. Many of the people in our group homes moved off of the campus in Watertown. That's where most of them came from, in South Wisconsin anyway. And occasionally, we would get somebody from, what I say, the outside. Someone like Steve, who was a man who came to us in the Milwaukee area. He was Catholic. He had been a confirmed Catholic. He's about my age. And when he came to us, and the people of the group home he lived in were going to Missouri Synod Church, well, he couldn't take communion. Steve cried because of that. And so Steve decided he wanted to join the church. And he worked together with one of the teachers from the Lutheran school and catechism, the Bible, and he was confirmed by the pastor of that church. And so Steve could come regularly and receive the Lord's Supper and was happy. And Steve made a friend at that church, an older man named Jim. And sometimes when we come with the group home, we don't always get the church right on time. Getting 6-8 people ready to get there on time is a little hard sometimes. And when he'd get to church, he'd see his friend Jim, and he'd say, hi, buddy. And Jim would say, hi, buddy. And Steve would say, I want to see the Father. Catholic background, I want to see the Father. And Jim would say, oh, Steve, hold on, church is starting. We'll see the Father after church. So after church, people are going out, shaking hands, greeting the Father. And Steve's, I want to see the Father. I want to see the Father. And Jim would say, hold on. Because he knew when Steve got to talk to the Father, he'd keep him busy for 20 minutes. So when everybody's out, finally Steve gets to see the Father. Last year, January, Steve died. And now Steve sees the Father. He sees the Father in all his glory because Steve knew the Son, Jesus Christ, as his Lord and Savior. Life to the full. Love. Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd, knowing us by name, He knows our name, and we know Him. Jesus Christ is love incarnate, made flesh so that He could come into our world, take our sin on Himself on the cross. And then Jesus, the resurrection and the life, and in His resurrection, gives us the gift of heaven to know we have eternal life in Him. As one man at Bethesda expressed it at the funeral of his friend, when he walked down the aisle to pay his last respects at the coffin, and he put his hand on the casket, and he said, "Goodbye, John. See you in heaven." He knew John was okay. Not that we don't have sorrow and crying, because we do, but he knew John was okay. He knew the love of Jesus and life. Life. Life for God's children can be full and abundant right here, right now, and forever. And that includes you and me as well. Life is worth the living, even when we might feel it isn't. Even when we might have been tempted to take our own life. It is a precious gift of God. A precious gift given to you. A precious gift for all of us, because the life is valued. God values your life. The person next to you, the person with disabilities, the person yet unborn. God values every life. And so who can have this life to the full? All who believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Life is precious, and that's why God sent His Son Jesus to die for us, to redeem us from our sins, because without Jesus we're lost, condemned forever. Because of our sin we can't save ourselves. And so this life to the full is meant for all who believe in Jesus. It's meant for people with developmental disabilities also, because their life is also precious to God. Because you see, people with developmental disabilities, contrary to what sometimes people think, are not all just one group that you lump together. They all look the same, act the same. No, each one has their own distinct personality, their own likes and dislikes. They have feelings, emotions. They laugh, they cry. They have good times, they have bad times. They have things that they like and things that they don't like. They have people they love and care for too. In our chapel services every day, we at the end of chapel, we take people back to their living area, back to the workshop, wherever they may be going. And as I come in to take people back, I see Courtney, young lady, and she's pretty much nonverbal, but she gets excited when she sees me and other people she knows, and she gets, her face lights up, and she gets, oh, she's excited because she sees you, and you're going to deal with her. And Jennifer, another young lady, sits in a wheelchair, and I take her back to her room, and one day when I was doing that, I ran over my foot with her wheelchair, and I looked at her, and I said, "Jennifer, what are you trying to do, run me over?" And she looks up at me and gives me a big smile and a laugh. You know, people say they don't know what's going on, but they do. And then when I see Vivian, or in class, in the bio class, or Shelley in the hallway, and they reach out to give me a hug. Or Barbara, when she sits in her wheelchair that has a big tray on it and a handle on her wheelchair. Well, I would push someone with one hand and pull Barbara on with her wheelchair, and she would reach out her hand and put it on mine, because she wanted to feel the touch of another person who loves her and cares for her. So every time I move Barbara in her wheelchair, I make sure that I pull it with the handle so that she can reach out and feel my hand. They can know Jesus, and they do know Jesus, because that faith that they have is also a Spirit-given gift of faith in their heart. Life to the full is for you and for me, because no one, not even you, not even me, is left out of God's plan for life to the full. Life to the full, life eternal, is meant even for those who don't apply it to themselves. For those who don't yet believe in Jesus as their Lord, their precious life, their life is also precious to God. Those who have never heard about Jesus, those who are caught up in a false religion or a cult that don't know Jesus, their life is precious to Him too. And so that's why it's so urgent for you and me to get the message out, to share that good news about Jesus with people that don't know Him. The message of Jesus and life to the full is for people who have sinned grievously. For people who don't think that God can forgive them. But for Jesus' sake, He does. Maybe it's a person who years ago did the best that they thought they were doing for a child that they put in an institution, even though that's what the specialist told them to do. Told them to forget about that one. But they didn't. We have people at Bethesda there for that reason. The parents never forgot. Maybe it's one who had an abortion for whatever reason. And yet they don't forget. They see the face of that person. They see other family, children at Christmas, birthdays, playing, presents, doing the Christmas program. And their heart breaks for the little face that they see in their mind. That little ghost that haunts them. And they feel the guilt of what they've done. And maybe don't feeling God can ever forgive them. One Friday afternoon, as I was in the parish before I went to Bethesda, a lady called me on the phone. I didn't know her. She was threatening to take her own life. I'm going, Lord, what do I say? What do I do? And we just talked. And we prayed. Eventually she told me where she was. I went out and talked to her, visited with her, talked and prayed again, shared the good news of Jesus. And she didn't do it. She eventually came to church, eventually joined the church. But she struggled. She said, I know that Jesus died for the sins of the world, but she couldn't accept the fact that Jesus died for her sins. They were too bad, whatever they were. I struggled this last year myself with different things in my own personal life that happened. And the whole issue of forgiveness and guilt. And I struggled with that. Was I fair in certain situations? What did I do wrong here or here? And how did I fail certain people? And I struggled with that a long time and a lot. And asking the Lord, am I forgiven? Am I forgiven? Oh, I know the words. You know the words. We've heard it. We understand it. But one night as I was driving through northern Wisconsin up here on Highway Interstate 39, I was praying and overwhelmed at the guilt I was feeling and not knowing if the Lord ever really forgave me. And I said, Lord, I know that Jesus died for me. I know He went to the cross, but I don't know. Am I really forgiven? I didn't feel it. Lord, I need You to show me somehow to know that I am forgiven. And as I'm praying this prayer for quite a while along the highway, eventually a semi-truck passed me on the interstate and came in front. And as my lights shone on the back of that semi, there were some words on that back door. And those words were, it has already been done. And I got goosebumps because I knew God was answering my prayer. That was no coincidence that that truck passed me at that time with those words in that back door. The Lord assured me, even as He has through His word, but that night He spoke to me and let me know it's already been done. My forgiveness had been paid for because Jesus has already done it on the cross thousands of years ago. And so today, if you have a guilt, if you have something from the past, and you don't think God could ever forgive you, know that He can, and that He already has. It's been done. Jesus died for you. It's not just words. It really happened for you. Don't let anybody ever tell you it didn't. Don't let anybody ever steal that forgiveness and that assurance of that from you. Nobody, not even yourself, to tell you that God can't forgive you. He does in Jesus. So I want to thank you for letting me be here with you today to be able to share the gospel of Jesus, to share a little bit about Bethesda with you. There's a table out in back that's got some books, some other items. Take whatever you want on the table. It's free. And if we can do anything to help you with outreach, let us know. Thank you for your support that you've given over the years as a congregation, as groups, as individuals. Thank you for your support financially. Thank you for your support with thrift shops, shopping there, taking things there, volunteering. Thank you for your prayers for the people who live and work at Bethesda. And let us be a part of your mission and ministry as you reach out to your community to share that good news of Jesus with people with disabilities. Amen.